Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Why not get your Bible out so you can follow along as I read? And you might also want to grab a pen and paper so that you can take notes as we listen to the sermon after we hear God's word spoken. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. And please by respond, thanks be to God.
Let me add my welcome to church. My name is Paul Dell. I'm the senior pastor here, and it's my privilege to open up God's word today. So why don't we pray and ask for God's help? Father, your word is living and active, and so we humbly ask that you would speak to us boldly and clearly and powerfully. By your Spirit, would you illuminate your word to us and open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Elvis Presley who said, "I am not the king. I am not the king because Jesus Christ is the king. I'm just an entertainer. I'm not the king," he says. "I'm not in control. I'm not the boss. I don't know everything. I don't control everything. But Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ is the king." One of my favorite moments of the year are our Christmas dinner parties, where friends and family gather around the table and we enjoy a wonderful meal, and then we pull those Christmas crackers with the bad joke and the tacky gift and the little paper crowns. And we sit around the table with these paper crowns on our head. I think it's a perfect picture of how we view ourselves. So often we think that we're in charge. So often we think we're in control. We know what's going to happen. And no one can tell us what we could do or should do. Our little crowns, we don't like being told what we must do. I think that's what the problem is at the moment. With all these COVID-19 restrictions from our government, we hate being told what we can do, what we can't do, where we can go, who we can see, because we actually want to be in control of our own lives. We don't like being called to submit to leadership, do we? We don't like being asked to submit to authority. But as Elvis would say, "I am not the boss, and you are not the boss. And our Prime Minister is not the boss. There's only one king. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has absolute control, absolute authority, absolute power, infinite wisdom. And his name is Jesus Christ." Jesus is king. And the Bible said that way before Kanye West ever did. Jesus is king. In Kanye West's latest album, there's some great words to the song. Let me read them to you. "Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord." Actually, those words are straight from the Bible, from Philippians chapter 2. "Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." That's our theme today. Jesus is King. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day where we go into Holy Week in our church calendar, the week before Easter. It's all about Jesus being king. We just read in Matthew 21 how Jesus enters Jerusalem. He's heading towards his death. So it's a week before Passover. And Jerusalem is bustling with people. There's over 100,000 people, six times the normal average. But that particular year, one name is on everybody's lips, and that name is Jesus. Could this man Jesus be the Messiah? Could he be the prophet? Could he be the king? Jesus spent 3 years preaching and teaching, healing the sick, feeding 5,000 people, raising the dead. And here he is, about to enter Jerusalem. But who is he? Look down to verse 5 with me. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Your king comes to you. That's a quote from the prophet Zechariah, who wrote 500 years before Jesus. Zechariah 9, verse 9, prophesying the king would come riding on a donkey. So here's Jesus, the king, about to make his grand entrance into Jerusalem. I love a grand entrance. I love it on a wedding day when the doors open and the bride makes her grand entrance. I love it at a rock concert before the band enters. You've got the fireworks, you've got the smoke, the pyrotechnics, and then there's Pink on her trapeze. I love it in a footy final where the teams rush onto the pitch and there's graffiti or there's glitter or there's fireworks. I love a grand entrance. So how does this king of the universe enter? He is not surrounded by an army or an entourage. There's no fanfare. There's no golden carriage. There's no Pope mobile. You've got a kind of a carpet, a red carpet of cloaks and palm branches. But this king, he comes riding on a donkey. And so the crowd asks this question in verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? That is the key question. Who is this man? Is he just a prophet from the backwater town of Nazareth? Is he just a great teacher, just a great healer, a great miracle maker? Or is he perhaps God? Is he perhaps the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who is this? That's a question I grappled with for two long years. I'd read lots of books about Christianity. I'd read the Bible. I'd met with Christians. I'd done all my research. But that question niggled at me. Who is this? It's a light bulb moment when Jesus said to Peter, who do you say I am? That is the most important question you will ever answer. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he king or is he not king? It was C.S. Lewis who famously said this. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on a level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him your Lord and your God. But let's not come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. So on this Palm Sunday, Jesus is shouting, I am Lord, I am King. Verse 5, your king comes to you, or literally for you, for your benefit. So the king has come. But here's the question. What type of king is he? What type of king is he? He's not the type of king sat on an ivory throne dispensing wisdom. He's not the kind of king who is dressed for battle with his weapons in hand. He's not the kind of dictator king who's stamping his authority. He's a gentle, humble, meek king who rides on a donkey. He is a king who weeps over cities, who seeks the lost. He's a king who says, come to me when you are weary and burdened, and you'll find rest for your souls. three points about King Jesus. So Jesus is the sovereign king, the sovereign king. He's ruling, he's reigning, he's on his throne. He knows everything, he sees everything, he controls everything. Do you notice in verse 2 how Jesus sent these two disciples, Peter and John? He sent them to the village to find the donkey, to find a colt. He says, untie them and bring them to me. And down in verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Now, do you spot how Jesus knows everything? He has this kind of divine foreknowledge. He knows where the donkey and her colt are going to be. He knows that the man is going to allow them to take them. He knew exactly what's going to happen. Jesus knows everything. Nothing takes him by surprise. The little lines in the Gospels I love, when Jesus says things like, Jesus knew what was on their lips before they even spoke. So Jesus in total control, even the cross did not take him by surprise. I hope you know that no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He chose to go there. He wasn't a helpless victim. So when they mocked him, so come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. He could have come down. He was in control of that, but he chose not to. So Jesus is sovereign. He's sovereign over sickness, over suffering, over demons, over death, and yes, even over diseases like coronavirus. He knows all the information, how this virus is going to spread, when it will cease. He knows it all. It's like Jesus has got the hands on the steering wheels of our world and of your life. And he asks you to sit in the passenger seat. And I love this about his sovereignty. He knows everything about everybody, but he knows you and he knows me so, so intimately. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. And before a word is on your lips, he knows what you're about to say. And that is not scary. It is so comforting. It's not Big Brother watching over you. It's your Lord and your King wanting to know you and to care for you. Spurgeon says this, when you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. He's in control of everything. At our home, above the fireplace, we've got a few verses of scripture. And one of those verses is very special to my wife, Rachel. It's from Psalm 139. It says this, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one came to be. And she loves that verse. And she loves it because a number of years ago now, her first husband, Ben, sadly passed away from a type of leukemia. And that verse really spoke comfort into her life. It was not her plan to be widowed and a single mum at 27, but it was God's plan. And she didn't like the plan, but to know that God had his hand on that plan and was in control of that plan brought her great, great comfort. You know, to know that Jesus is sovereign is basically saying, God's got this and God has got me. God's got this and God has got me. When you believe that, it is so liberating. It frees you from the fear of the unknown. It frees you from wanting to control everything. It frees you from those if-only moments. If only I'd done that. Behind every event and every decision is an all-powerful, sovereign King Jesus who's holding on to you, and that is liberating. That's what God is saying to us today. Let Jesus govern his world. The best word to describe that is the word surrender. I love that word, surrender. We submit our lives to him. We accept his authority over us. We trust him. Now, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I freely give. So friends, lay down your hearts and lay down your lives and surrender your life to the lordship of our sovereign King Jesus. Those who know me know I love the Queen. She's reigned for 66 years. She has hundreds of crowns, and yet she says this, Jesus is the King that I serve. Jesus is a King that I serve. Isn't that beautiful? The most powerful woman, she surrenders her life to King Jesus. So he's sovereign. Number two, he's the servant king. He's the servant king. Look again at verse 5. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. The kings ride horses, not donkeys. Alexander the Great came in a great war horse. The queen rides on her chariot. But this king, King Jesus, he comes not in pomp and circumstance, but in humility, with meekness and with gentleness and a servant-heartedness. The Bible says he came not to be served, but to serve. Now think about that. Think about his birth. The King of Kings was born in a lowly stable. Think about his life. He had no place to call home. He had no palace, no privileges. Think about his friends. He spent time with social outcasts and prostitutes and sinners and sick people. Think about his attitude. Just before this, he has put a towel around his waist. He's knelt down and he's washed the feet of his disciples. That's his attitude. He's a servant king. And here on Palm Sunday, he comes gentle. That's the word in verse 5, gentle. I love the word gentle. Not harsh, not abrasive, not arrogant, not abusive, not a dictator, but kind, meek, humble, and gentle. It's a picture of humility, a donkey for a humble servant king. You know, the first disciples, the first believers, chose a word to describe themselves, and they call themselves servants of Christ. You know, Paul, a servant of Christ, Peter, a servant of Christ, Timothy, a servant of Christ. I am a servant of Christ. And that word servant is saying, if you claim to surrender all to King Jesus, then your heart, your attitude must be one of humility, of gentleness, and other person-centeredness, servant-heartedness. Augustine said, as a Christian, the most important characteristic is humility. And secondly, it's humility. And thirdly, it's humility. Or C.S. Lewis says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. That's what we're called to do. Jesus first, others second, ourselves last. Jesus, others, yourself. Joy. That's what it is. It's finding your humility and your contentment in the Lord Jesus and serving him. So first, let's get rid of pride. Please get rid of pride. Please get rid of any celebrity complex. Please get rid of your harshness, your criticism, your domineering, any abuse within you. Get rid of it. And be known as a servant of the servant king. Humble, gentle, meek, servant hearts. It's John Stott who wakes up every morning and says, good morning, Lord Jesus. What are we going to do together today? Why not pray that? Good morning, Lord Jesus, my servant king. How can I serve you today? And how can I serve others today? And I think today is a unique moment in history to serve others in the midst of this crisis. So Jesus is the sovereign king, the servant king, and lastly, the saviour king. The saviour king. That was his mission. That was the reason King Jesus left his throne in heaven and came to earth. He came to seek and to save us. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. Now, do you hear what the crowd shouted in verse 9? Look at it with me. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! They recognize his kingship. He is the Son of David. He is on that line of David, the throne of David. But that word Hosanna, we don't use that word much, do we? There's lots of Alleluias, but not many Hosannas. That word Hosanna is not so much a word of praise. It's actually a word of plea. It's a prayer. It literally means, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Please save me. And friends, that's the plea, the Hosanna plea that every human being needs to make. We all need to pray, Hosanna, Lord, save me. not just save me from coronavirus or save me from economic disaster or save me from isolation. Save me from my sins. Lord, save me from my sins. The sin is the way that we put these little crowns on our head and we think that we're the boss. Our sin is when we say, we're in charge, we know best, and the terrible things that we do and the good things that we fail to do. Now, sin must be dealt with. Now, either you pay the price for your sin or you let Jesus pay it for you. That's what the cry shouted, Hosanna, save us, please. Now, what struck me this week is the same crowd that shouted, Hosanna, just a week later are shouting, crucify him. Now, one moment shouting, hail him, the next moment, nail him to that cross. Beaten, battered, bruised, blooded, nail him there. Crucify him. With that sign over your head saying, this is the King of the Jews. But that was God's plan, friends. That's why Jesus came, to sacrifice himself to save many. And maybe you've never understood that. What does it mean to be saved from your sins? Imagine the punishment for all the sins of the world that have ever taken place. You know, the punishment for the sins of murder or molestation, of greed, of sex trafficking, of terrorism, of genocide, or the punishment for my sins of selfishness and pride and lust and lies and your sins, and the punishment for all of our sins for all time being poured down and down and down and down to one person at one moment in history, and then see Jesus bearing the punishment for your sins and hear the words, it is finished. What he's saying there is that he has paid the price so you don't need to. He was forsaken so you are not. He was slaughtered, he was slain so you can be saved. As the hymn says, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished, and his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. We all need Jesus to save us from our sins. Now, this Jesus, he went on a colt. You might have missed that detail. The foal of a donkey. It's a beautiful little detail because it's an animal that has never been ridden before. A perfect, unblemished animal. A perfect animal for sacrifice. But the animal wasn't sacrificed because its rider was. The animal was not sacrificed because Jesus was. So here's my question. Have you personally cried out, Hosanna, save me, please, God? And can I say no one's beyond saving? No one is too bad for this Saviour. I love the story of John Newton, the slave trader, the womanizer, the drunkard, who in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, just cried out, save me, God, and gave his life to Christ and wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Or the story of Shane, the mass murderer who found Christ through an alpha course in jail. No one's too bad to be saved. No one's too good to be saved. Please don't think that you're too good, you don't need saving. We all need saving. And it's not enough, friends, to be part of a crowd. That crowd mentality, you know, I go to church, I was brought up in church, I know the words. You need to say the words personally, Hosanna, save me. Now, for me personally, that was May 1990. Now, when was it for you? Now, when you cry, Hosanna, save me, your Father, he lavishes you with his grace and his love, his mercy and his forgiveness. He calls you his child. So that's King Jesus. He is sovereign, he's a servant, and he's your Saviour. But I'll leave you with this. Ultimately, Palm Sunday is a bit like a prequel. A bit like Star Wars Episode 1, 2, and 3, waiting for the main game. Because the King has come. And he came into Jerusalem. He went to that cross. He went to the grave. He's ascended to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. But here it is, friends. That King who came is coming again. He's coming again. He's going to make a grand entrance one more time. And this time there'll be fireworks and fanfares and trumpet calls and lightnings. And this time every eye will see him. And he'll come riding a horse with a tattoo saying, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he'll come with all power to reign on this earth for all eternity. And it's going to be a great day. It's going to be an amazing day because there's going to be no more sickness and no more sadness and no more death and no more disease and no more depression and no more cancer and no more coronavirus. It's going to be an amazing day. But are you ready? Are you ready to meet King Jesus? Do you have that longing, that waiting, that yearning to see him face to face? Do you pray, come Lord Jesus? And do you pray that many, many, many people will call him as their Lord and their Saviour? I long for that day. I long for that day to see my King. Because I know on that day when I stand before my King, I will get a crown. I will get a crown, not a paper crown from a cracker, but the crown that my King Jesus gives me when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, welcome home. Elvis says, I'm not the king, Jesus Christ is the king. He is sovereign, he's a servant, he's our Saviour King, and we can't wait for him to come again. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself. Our King Jesus, who went to that cross on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for his sovereignty over all things and the comfort that brings us. Thank you, Lord, for his servant heartedness. Please help us to imitate him. And thank you, Lord, that he is going to come again. He will come in glory and power and take us home. Father, I want to pray now for the world that we live in, a world full of chaos, full of pain, full of suffering. And I pray according to your sovereign hand, you may lavish us with kindness, with relief from pain. Please end this virus, Lord. But we do pray for those doctors and nurses and medical staff who are fighting on the front line. Please equip them with everything they need. Please sustain them in their battle. We pray for our leaders, for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, for our Premier, Gladys. We ask, Lord, that in your wisdom that you would enable them to make decisions which are good for all people. And help us, Lord, to submit to them, to submit to their leadership. And Father, as we think about the coming of Christ, we are so conscious of people we know and love who are not ready to meet their King. And so I do pray for a spirit to come upon those people, to bring revival in this place, that many, many would bow the knee to him as their Lord and their Saviour. And Father, on this Palm Sunday, we want to pray this prayer together. I'll pray the first bit, you respond. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus, as you entered Jerusalem on a donkey, people laid palm branches in front of you. Help us to lay down our lives in surrender before you. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem humbly, gently, as a servant king. Help us to be gentle, humble servants for you. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem on a donkey to fulfill the scriptures. Help us to live according to your word. And Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem as our Saviour King. Help us to die to our old selves and to live for you. Lord Jesus, you promised you would come again. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus.